Welcome back to the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. John and Sherry both off today, but you have me, Jake Skorheim from Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. And sitting alongside me is Greg Tomlin. Greg, welcome to the show.
Again. We're in hour three here.
Third hour.
What are we doing?
Yeah. Welcome to the third hour of the show, Greg.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
This has been a lot of fun. We have been enjoying ourselves. I hope you guys have been enjoying the show as well. Have you guys been following all of the drama that has been going on with Kate Middleton?
Captivated and transfixed.
What's going on with Kate Middleton right now? Here's the thing. Just a quick backdrop, just for anybody who doesn't know what's been going on with Kate Middleton. So originally, Kate Middleton had some sort of abdominal surgery or something. They weren't telling us exactly what it was. She was going to have abdominal surgery, and then there was going to be like a two-week period where she was going to be recovering in the hospital. It's a long time to recover, but whatever. She's a royal. That's fine. Then she wasn't really seen in public for a long time, except for one picture of her, supposedly it was her, driving in a car. And then all heck broke loose when they released a photo on the on Mother's Day in the UK, which is, I think, like a week ago Sunday. They released a photo of her and her three kids smiling. Mm-hmm. And then very quickly, the photo was retracted. It was an official palace photo. It was then retracted because somebody at Agence France Presse, I think, noticed that there was a bunch of photoshopping that had been done in the photo.
It was clearly doctored, yeah.
Yeah, and they said, we can't actually send this out. They sent out this official thing that's called a kill notice for these photos. And it basically means for anybody who carries these photos, and a lot of, you know, a lot of news organizations all around the world, like AP will use photos. They said, don't use this photo because we don't trust the source anymore. And they said that now the Kensington Palace, who released the photo officially, is no longer a trusted source because we don't know what's going on in this photo. Mm-hmm. And that really was the final thing that like tripped this over into like conspiracy theory category. And now everybody's wondering like, well, what happened to Kate? Is she okay? What's going on with her? If they're airbrushing photos, is this even really her? Is this just a photo from some other time? And so everybody's wondering what's happening to Kate. And that kind of brings you up to speed. There is now a new video.
Yeah, and this new video was filmed just by a member of the general public, was published by tabloids and TMZ and The Sun, but it's actually fueled more conspiracies and more speculation about where is Kate Middleton? Is that video really real? Because Kensington Palace is remaining tight-lipped about this footage that has come out. And first of all, I just want to get this out of the way. I was being sarcastic when I said I was transfixed and captivated by the royals.
Oh, you're not.
I'm typically not that fascinated with them whatsoever.
You're obviously not my wife.
But I think there's some interesting implications of this story. Now, when it comes to world leaders or those in the public eye, you know, conspiracy theories involving them are a tale as old as time. I mean, I think of Franklin Roosevelt, who famously had polio and had to get around in a wheelchair.
What?
I didn't know that. And so his condition wasn't hidden from the public, yet the severity of it kind of was. He liked to be have himself photographed only in certain situations, or people would help him out, or when he'd make trips overseas, he'd always be seated in the car. And so, again, the American public knew he had these problems, but they didn't necessarily know how bad, and he tried to shade a little. John F. Kennedy had severe back problems, always wore a back brace. I'm not sure how many Americans knew that at the time. Interestingly enough, if you watch the Zapruder film, when that first shot hits him, he doesn't keel over because the back brace is actually holding him up because his back was so jacked up. So then Harvey Oswald was able to get another clear shot at him. But again, so there's a lot of things we don't know about public figures. This has gone on forever. But what I find fascinating is that this is going to get even harder and harder to tell where the truth is when mysteries.
Why do you think that is?
Because of social media and AI and digital advancements like Photoshop and how easy it is to doctor anything on a whim. I don't know if you go into the settings on your phone, but you can practically doctor photos of yourself or your family or anything image captured on your phone with just the click of a button now.
You know what's really
the technology is so crazy advanced.
What's really creepy about phones these days, and I saw this as an advertisement. I remember what phone it was, for some Galaxy or something. But the phone, they were selling it with this capability. They were saying, hey, if you take a bad picture with your family, you can just select from all these other pictures of your family and make it look like everything is great all the time.
Their face looked good from 2 months ago. Superimpose that
so
on
just,
their
like,
body.
Stick it on their body. And it was such a turnoff to me. I was like, you know what?
Yes.
That makes me feel really gross because that's not what life looks like. Life doesn't look perfect all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do not like the idea of just like scrubbing away. I don't like the idea of AI recognizing when my face looks bad and wanting to stick another picture in there from a time when it thinks my face looks better. Because then you just have like algorithms following you around all the time, which they already do. I don't know how technology works, so I'm not like speaking out of turn here, I think. But it was really creepy to me, the idea that just like phones, we've reached that point where phones are just like fixing little blemishes because, you know, life is all about blemishes and stuff. But back to Kate for a second. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it is? When this story first came out, my wife was like pretty, I mean, like you said, transfixed as a joke.
Yeah.
We were actually,
no, a lot of people are really
we and my family were actually like, this is really interesting. So mm-hmm. this is the late, and I get all my news.
So
from
what about it appealed to you? The mystery of the whole thing or the fact that she's a royal family?
Do you watch The Crown?
Oh, we watched season one. Dramatic.
Okay, so I don't know why it is, but the royals are just fascinating people to watch. I like watching the royals. There's just something about their family that are inherently interesting.
You like Disney princess movies too, probably.
Well, yeah, I do, as a matter of fact.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? They have such a family history.
Oh my gosh, yeah. They can trace it back hundreds of years.
The fact that, like 1,000 years.
Yeah, right.
The fact that they can trace it back like 1,000 years, I think is so interesting. All the weird stuff that's going on with, what's his face? Who's the one over here now that he has to use cream for his, he got frostbite?
I'm so glad I don't know the answer to this.
You know what I'm talking about? Prince Harry.
Okay,
Prince Harry.
Yeah.
He and Meghan Markle, that whole thing, it captivates people's attention. Then you have Kate Middleton and Prince William. This whole situation is captivating people's attention. I don't know what it is. If I'm being honest, like I can't put my finger on exactly what it is. Maybe it's just this bizarre fascination because we don't really have anything like that.
Right.
The only equivalent
we have Hunter Biden.
Yeah, we have Hunter Biden. Exactly.
And cocaine at the White House.
Yeah, we just have like weird stuff, I guess. But these people are in the public eye and they will continue to be in the public eye for their entire lives. They're born into it. It is their family heritage. They are just like, they get to be in the public eye all the time. But I get all my news, as I'm sure most people do, from watching The View. This is what The View ladies had to say about it. They actually thought that watching these things was ridiculous. And I don't get my news from The View.
There is a reason we care about this. And not to make it heavy. Not to make it heavy, but like, we know the treatment around Diana. We know what Meghan Markle and Prince Harry went through. And now you have a princess, a queen in waiting that hasn't been seen. And the stories just don't pan out. She could resolve this. The palace could in 2 minutes by putting her direct to camera.
But why do you feel like you're...
Because they are head of state.
She took a picture. She said, listen, I photoshopped it.
Someone took it of her. They photoshopped the photo. The palace also made a mistake here.
And then they released two photoshopped photos.
We're going to go to break.
No.
You know, you haven't had this done to you.
It's
our fault. It's our fault because we bought into this. When you buy into this stuff, when they start doing it to your family or they start doing it to your kids, it's not cute. It's not fun, and it really irritates me.
Because people,
I don't trust the royal family to be truthful.
I don't trust the royal family.
I mean, they may be... I understand.
They're all made up.
Because you've had personal feelings about this.
Yeah.
But, you know, let us not forget...
And Joy Behar.
And there's another episode of Talking Over Each Other.
Yeah, and then she starts reading history, which is not what I'm interested in.
But when the news report said, and the official release from the royal family was she had abdominal surgery in January, that's pretty cryptic. I mean, I hope she's okay.
Pretty vague, yeah.
I don't wish ill on anyone. I wonder in the back of my mind if she's going through some health issue that she doesn't want publicized right now. And
probably.
There's real legitimate privacy concerns. Don't know if that was an elective surgery or if she was combating some kind of ailment. We just don't know. My bigger concern here more broadly, Jake, is that we seem to be accelerating into a future where the malaise and the confusion of the public will only be increasing when it comes to how to decipher where the truth is. Whether it's a doctored photo, whether it's an AI-generated image that has come out. We were talking about show prep before the program began today, and I'm really... interested in the news out of Ukraine and the recent Russian sham election where Putin won 87% of the vote. And I try to find reputable news sources to tell what's really going on over there. And so I'll be scrolling through social media and I'll, you know, you can find blue check marks, but even that's kind of dubious on if that's a reputable source. And you find certain journalists that you think you trust. So then, you know, somebody posts a video of Putin giving a press conference after his sweeping election. And there's an English translator, and I'm just realizing as I'm consuming this and digesting it that so much of society just goes on trust for how you interpret where the truth is. Because I'm like, okay, this could be a doctored video of Putin. It could be a fake English translator telling me something that is just completely made up. And once again, as technology gets better and better, the onus is on the individual consumer to decipher what reality is.
Well, it's like this.
But the more you live your life online and in the digital sphere, it's going to be rendered impossible. We're just going to be walking through fog constantly, metaphorically
speaking.
Well,
it's like this video that just came up now where they have Kate walking around and now everybody's saying, look, well, that's clearly not her. That's a body double.
Right.
So there is a video. I mean, you heard The View demanding it. They were saying, why can't they just put her on camera and let everybody see that she's fine? And now you have that video, but then people are saying it's not real. And we were talking, I know we got to move on here, but we were talking about some earlier that I really found fascinating. Who was the author that you were mentioning who was saying that it's going to be really tough? And this was written, what, in the 1980s or maybe 60s or something?
Yeah,
but he was
Aldous
saying,
Huxley.
Okay, paraphrase what you were telling me earlier about how like there's so much information available to us now.
So Aldous Huxley wrote the book Brave New World. George Orwell, around a similar time, wrote a book called 1984. And they had very different prophetic views of the future. So George
and
Orwell
both have kind of come true in different ways.
Yes, but I think we live in the Aldous Huxley version of the future even more than Orwell, even though he gets a lot of play.
He's more
in
popular.
Society.
Yeah.
Yeah, people know the reference 1984 immediately. So George Orwell believed that the problem of the future was going to be banning books. Aldous Huxley believed that there'd be no need to ban books because people wouldn't want to read anymore. George Orwell thought we would have oppressors. Aldous Huxley thought we would oppress ourselves basically through pleasure and entertainment and distraction ultimately. And Aldous Huxley also believed that we would just be swimming in a sea of infinite information in the future that would render the truth indecipherable. Whereas Orwell believed that there would be an overseer who would squash the truth. And again, I just think that Huxley's vision has come true and we're seeing it more and more day after day.
It's so weird. I mean, like, what a weird prediction.
It's quite profound if you think about it. Yeah, they're
because
very different.
Because here we have this
opinions.
Kate Middleton video that everybody's been like clamoring for. And instantly everybody goes, wow, no, that can possibly be. It could be AI. It could be all these millions of different things that we see now all the time.
Yeah.
It could be a deep fake video. Who knows? But I guess we're going to keep following the Kate Middleton story.
She should live and be well. I hope she's okay.
I hope she's fine, yeah. And Greg is transfixed by this story. He loves
clearly,
it so much.
Clearly.
All right, let's move along. Do you want to talk a little bit more about the smash and grab?
Pot shops?
Or do we have something else to cover?
Well, look, the takeaway from the pot shop thing, it's not a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. It's obvious. These shops deal in cash. These stolen products are easy to resell. And so we're seeing more and more of this. And as long as federal law differs from state law, I don't know if you see an end in sight other than these businesses all around the Northwest region taking matters into their own hands. And, you know, I posited in the first hour that maybe we'll see more boulders in front of entrances to these shops if, you know, the place where these establishments are located allow for it. You know, sometimes they can't do that because it's a sidewalk.
Sure.
That their shop is on. So I don't know, it's a bummer if you're a small business owner dealing in cannabis.
It's tough. This is the second day. We've had this story on mynorthwest.com if anybody wants to see it there. A cannabis shop in Seattle's Georgetown neighborhood was hit just to this morning around sometime around after 3:30 a.m. maybe around between 3:30 and 5 a.m. This shop had already been hit. There was another shop yesterday that had been hit. That shop had previously been hit 6 months ago. That was the one actually that had been hit twice. And so, yeah, the question is, like, how do you stop this from happening? We're seeing it all the time. 2 years ago, I had never really heard of a news story, except in the movies, where people are driving through the front of shops just to steal petty cash and weed.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's happening all of the time. I think it's happening more and more with teenagers. And I think the reason that a lot of them think that they can get away with doing it is because of two things. One, the Kia Boys TikTok challenge, which shows young people how to steal these vehicles. They're easily accessible. How do you get into them? How do you steal them with a screwdriver and a USB port? And two, they're not being pursued by police.
Mm-hmm.
They're not pursuing stolen vehicles because they have new laws where police are not supposed to be chasing people and they're not supposed to be getting into police chases. And so young people think, I sound old saying that, but
I can do this with impunity.
Yeah, the risk versus reward. I'm probably not going to get caught doing this, and they're not going to arrest me. And if I get arrested, they're a lot of times they're young, and so they think, oh, I'm just going to get a slap on the wrist. It's not a big deal. And I'm here to tell you, it is a big deal. And don't do it, teenagers. And I don't like to bring this out. I bring this guy out on my show every once in a while. Nate Connors knows this guy well. He's heard him on my show.
What, was this Prison Mike?
This is Prison Mike.
Yes. Prison Mike.
Yeah, no, I hate to do it because I don't like to scare teenagers. I want you guys to live a good life. And that's why I'm doing this. I'm like a parent. I have three sons. I'm about to have four sons. Mm-hmm. You punish your kids because you don't want them to have a bad life later. They pay for little consequences now, so they don't pay with big consequences later. You could end up in prison with somebody like Mike. You don't want to have that happen. This is Prison Mike. He's going to tell you about how bad prison is. Again, teenagers, I'm sorry to do this to you. I don't want to do it, but I want you to have a good life.
Prison stinks, but I am here to scare you straight. I am here to scare you straight! In prison, you are somebody's bitch. Oh, and you, my friend, would be the belle of the ball. Don't drop the soap. Don't drop the soap. The worst thing about prison was the Dementors. They were flying all over the place, and they were scary, and then they'd come down, and they'd suck the soul out of your body, and it hurt. I hope that this scared you. I just want to thank you for listening to me and letting me be a part of your life today, because you got a good life. You got a good life.
You got a good life, teenagers.
I'll be down there.
And Prison Mike is real.
Prison Mike, well, he's... I don't know,
in quotes. That's in quotes, right?
Yeah. Okay. Who knows now with, internet and AI, and who knows anything anymore?
All right, this segment is brought to you by the delicious Wilcox Family Farm Eggs. It is the John and Sherry Show. Greg Tomlin and Jake Skorheim filling in. Jake, if I were to ask you right now, are you happy? What might you say to that?
Yeah, I'd say yes. I'm a pretty upbeat person. Pretty glasses full person.
How would you measure it?
How would I measure my happiness?
Oh, there's the rub.
That's a great question. I don't know.
Okay, but you just have a general feeling of happiness.
Yeah,
so if you were surveyed and someone came up to you and said, give me a self-assessment, feeling good about life, you would say, yes, absolutely. Don't even need to describe the reasons why. Well, there's a new 2024 World Happiness Report that is out. The happiest countries in the world have been revealed. And the U.S. doesn't even crack the top 20. Does that surprise you on its surface?
Yeah, I'm surprised. Definitely when you look at some of the countries that are on the top 20.
So leading the way... And I'm going to see if you can tell what all these countries have in common.
Okay.
Happiest countries in the world. Number one. Well, let's go from 10 to 1. That makes it more dramatic, right?
Sure.
Is there like a drum roll or something that Andrew can find at a moment's notice? I don't know. Number 10 is Australia.
Okay. Yeah, it's a sunny, nice place. I like it.
Number nine. You don't have to comment on everyone.
No, I feel like I want to.
Number 9 is Switzerland.
Uh-huh. Eight. Hold on a second. They make a good watch. Go ahead.
8 is Luxembourg.
Chocolate.
7, Norway.
I'm Norwegian. Yep.
Well, there you go. That explains a lot. 6, Netherlands. 5, Israel. 4, Israel, Sweden. Mm-hmm. 3, Iceland. 2, Denmark. And the happiest place in the world coming in at number 1 is Finland.
I have a good friend from Finland, actually.
Price is Right theme.
He's a very happy person, and they speak a ton of languages there. Just like everybody in the population, they all speak like a million languages.
A recipe for joy?
Something, I guess. And they also spend a great deal of time outside, which I think is a healthy thing.
So here's my two cents on this. Some of the happiest places in the world, according to this survey, are also some of the smaller countries in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So Finland population is 5 million. Denmark, 5 million. Iceland, 372,000. Okay.
That's tiny. Yeah, that's
the
small.
Population of New York City is 8.4 million, Jake. Israel is 9 million people. Luxembourg, 640,000. Australia is the biggest in the top 10 with a 25 million population.
But the U.S. isn't even...
Don't you think there's a correlation here? Because the smaller sample size you get, the more homogenous people are. I mean, we're a very diverse bunch here in the United States with, 330 million population or even more by recent estimates.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot.
We're a nation of immigrants. We're a melting pot. We come from all over the world. We have different belief systems, different religions, agnostic, atheist. We're all mixed together in one, right? And so I think that happiness levels are going to vary because we're such a wide array of individuals.
Just different because of culturally people are, rate
happiness. I think it's easier to get smaller groups of people on the same page than it is to get hundreds of millions of people.
I could buy that.
And that's why you don't see, India, China, and any other of these
massive
countries.
Well, the U.S. isn't even in the top 20. We're not even.
We're 23.
Yes, we're 23. Behind Slovenia. We're close enough. I don't even know what they have in Slovenia.
And by the way, they're not assessing GDP per capita, social support, healthy life expectancy, freedom, generosity, corruption. No. This is strictly just asking a person to give a self-assessment of their happiness, which is kind of an interesting way to do
this. This is interesting, too. They looked at people over the age of 60, and they said the report did break down and also ranked the happiness of different age groups. The United States ranked in the top 10. When you ask people over 60 if they rate their happiness high or low, they said, people over 60 feel pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I found really interesting, though. When it came to younger folks, people under the age of 30, the United States was ranked, we are right now ranked, 23?
Mm-hmm.
Drops down to number 63 on the list of countries who are happy.
Thanks, social media.
seriously. But like for young folks who are just like, apparently very depressed and don't think much of the future, what I found interesting about this was, we talked about this before the show a little bit. There's an author's name is Jonathan Haidt, and he was talking about young people and what they are currently going through. And he talks about this like generation of kids who've now been born with a phone constantly in their hands.
They don't know anything different.
They're constantly looking at phones. You go into like any school these days, you walk by, like, I don't know if kids go to the mall anymore, but like if you go in areas where young people are, they can be in groups, but they're still by themselves because they're looking at their phones and they're not having the same interactions that you or I had growing up. And what's interesting about this was he says sometime around the early 2010s, specifically right around 2012, and social media really like exploded and young people had switched over from, in 2007, you get the invention of the iPhone or the release of the iPhone, which kind of changes the world. Suddenly you have this connection thing in your pocket where you can look at social media all of the time. It's just with you all of the time. And he said right around that time, you find that the anxiety levels and the depression levels and the suicide rates of kids under the age of 19 skyrockets. They like skyrocket by more than 50%. And specifically with young girls between the ages of 10 and 14, it jumps by 131%, which is scary.
Professor Gene Twang, he does a lot of research on this very topic and has the same conclusions as Jonathan Haidt. And there's also an interesting paradox that takes place here, Jake, and that is the more we talk about mental health and the more we talk about how depressed young people are, the more we get of it. The more research is showing that as well. Like,
it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You find what you're looking for. And I really think the counter to all of this stuff is, one, happiness can never be sought directly. It always has to be the byproduct of something else. This might be an out there theory, but I really think service is the key to getting us out of the mental health crisis, because service creates perspective, creates reflection, and it gets you out of the endless cycle that goes round and round and round about thinking about yourself, your own identity. Where do I fit in the world? If you get out there and start helping people in any way, and there's an abundance of opportunities on a daily basis,
you can find.
It sounds very simple, but it's actually very hard for a lot of people to do. I think that's one of the main things that can get us out of this big mental health crisis that we have going on, especially for young people. Get them out of themselves. Get them to stop thinking about the fact that the world revolves around them at all times, and this phone is going to judge my worth, and I see myself mirrored back to me. And
this is something that is as I mentioned, I have three small kids, so I don't really have to deal with this issue right now. Your kids are a little older than mine, and right now, we're kind of looking down the road and we're going like, all right, how are we going to parent our kids with all of their avail, with just like, it's ubiquitous, it's everywhere, technology, phones, everything just like follows them. How do we keep them from falling into those traps? Because clearly the correlation between social media and happiness is not a good one.
Yeah.
And so how do you keep your kids from being pulled into that anxious world where they're just worried about fear of missing out? And am I going to get invited to the party? And am I going to be on the right list? You have older kids. Have you had to deal with these issues already?
I've said this before, but our 13-year-old just got a phone on her 13th birthday. But as I told you before the show, it's sort of a dummy phone. So there's no YouTube on it. There's no web browser. There's no social media. There's even no phone number, but she can access Wi-Fi. And so she won't feel like a total pariah amidst her peers at school when they have the phones out.
She can still pull it out.
She can have a glowing rectangle to feel like she belongs. Okay, that was the bare minimum we did for her. But one of the keys to our success that we've had so far, and the reason she hasn't gone into total despair over the fact that she doesn't have access to the interwebs like all her friends do, is because precisely the fact that we have an ongoing conversation with her. One of the key things I told her long ago was, hey, Penny, that's her name, Penny. I said, you know, your mom and I's job is to raise a well-adjusted kid that contributes to society. And in our case, because we're a faith-based family, we say, you know, we want to point you into the direction of loving the Lord and all that. And these devices that are now ubiquitous, omnipresent, found everywhere in culture right now, one, are inhibiting your development in a healthy way and inhibiting our ability to parent you effectively. And then I'll show her research. I'll just point it out. I'll say, look at these mental health trends over the past 10 years, right? See how there's been a crisis among young girls over the past 10 years, and there's
this
lots
is not
of,
helping you. Yeah.
Yeah. And we say there's a direct correlation between the amount of time you spend on this smartphone and your mental health. So I said, Penny, put yourself in our shoes as parents that love you and want the best for you. Would we be good parents if we just granted you unfettered access to these devices at all times? Keep in mind what our job is and the big picture that we have for you, and the future that we want for you. Would we be doing a good job as parents? And then so you're kind of parenting with the kid even. You're not coming down with a list of rules and just beating them over the head with it. You're helping them to kind of critically think about it as you do it. And so that's been effective for us with our 13-year-old so far. Our 10-year-old son and 7-year-old son, it might be a different tactic. They might be dealing with something else in terms of the internet in a different way when they become 13 to 14.
And
but we'll assess that when the time comes.
And it changes so fast, so who even knows what it's going to look like?
And every kid is so different.
Yeah, every kid's different. Ugh, it's tough. Welcome back to the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show. I am Jake Skorheim from Cairo Knights with Jake Skorheim filling in. Alongside me is Greg Tomlin. And Greg, now we get to read letters, right? We go to the mailbag.
It's exciting times.
I'm the mailman, as you can see, I'm the mailman, don't nobody mess with me, I'm the mailman, if you didn't know, I'm the mailman, I bring the mail to your door.
We're going to start with Jake's jail time story from the 360. Jake, so what happened? How do you end up getting out? How did all of that get resolved? Refresh people's memory on how you got there.
I was pulled over on a moped, improperly licensed. I got a court summons sent to my dorm, which never made its way to me. And then I had a bench warrant for my arrest for not showing up to court. I was then arrested for not driving with a seatbelt. A bad chain of events, but I ended up just having my friend bail me out.
Let's move on.
What does Mike have to say, Jake?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
Mike.
We want to go to a different topic. Let's go to a different topic.
Yeah. Standing in line for food. Dave says, I stand in line to socialize. Strong lasting bonds are formed for about 10 minutes. That's plenty. High five to Nate. High five, Nate.
All right. And happiness in small countries. David writes, those countries in the top 10 are all fairly socialist. Maybe socialism may not cause happiness, but clearly doesn't cause sorrow.
I don't know. I disagree. Redmond Affordable Housing Protest. 206 says, homelessness is an issue all over. Time to share the burden more equally.
Eric says, one reason the East Side cities don't have the vagrancy problem that Seattle has is because they have abdicated their responsibility to this population, and these folk have migrated to Seattle where the services are. It's long past time the suburban areas, including Beery and Kenmore and Redmond, pull their own weight! Exclamation point.
Smash and grab pot shops. John says, I've heard most of these pot shop smash and grabs don't score a lot of money for the bad guys. They leave no cash in the store overnight. Not much of a secondary market when pot's so cheap. They probably traded for fentanyl. That's depressing.
Ken says, as reported earlier, after the second time, insurance companies won't pay anymore.
Doug says, why don't pot shop owners hire security guards or at least install some better doors? I think they do. I do think they have security guards. I've seen them. I don't go into these shops regularly, but I have seen them.
From Paul, are we going to feel bad when some owner opens up with a shotgun on the people breaking in?
Sue says there needs to be consequences for teens. Right now, everybody gives that impression that consequences should. Everybody gives the impression that consequences shouldn't happen.
On the issue of the housing market and how it continues to surge the home prices. Steve says, when you talk about the crisis, don't forget to talk about the corporations that are buying up houses with cash.
Oh.
And now that. It is time for the letter of the day.
Greg, you want to do that one?
Want to give me the honors?
Yeah, you take the honors, please.
From the 360 in John and Sherry's absence. Well done, guys. You had some big shoes and some big gloves to fill today. You guys play well together. Fun show.
What's the big gloves? Is that because Sherry's got big hands? Is that what they say? Okay. This has been really fun. Thank you, guys.
I've had a
Greg,
blast.
Thanks for being alongside me here. Yeah. Andrew, great job.
That's all she wrote.
Chris,
that's all
amazing she wrote. Producing. Nate, thank you so much.
Oh, thank
traffic
you.
Desk.
But it's not over yet. I think we have another hour, right?
Let's do this.
We have another hour, and then you have three more hours of me after that. It's a seven-hour block
all
of Jake
all the time.
Oh, that's
time.
A tease.
Oh, yeah.
The Big Jake time. Radio Network.